Blog Talk Radio.
Sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Because I have such an awesome time, and I hope that you guys do as well.
Yes, well, we are excited about tonight's show, and we're giving people an opportunity to get in. We've had some texts and calls, and hold up, just try to hold up the show. I'm almost home from work, and we're not going to hold up the show for too long, but I'm just trying to give people enough time to get settled in and get your phone, you know, get on your phones or your internet.
You know what, while we're doing that, while we're waiting for people to gather themselves together, get to their favorite spot to get in on the show, I want to say to those who are already listening, whether it be by telephone or computer, start sending your questions in now. If you have a particular question because you read the topic and there are some questions that are burning in your mind, start preparing your questions. Send them over to us now because we may be able to answer them right away. We may be able to answer them later on in the show, but let's get this ball rolling, and we're going to need your help to get the ball rolling. So, again, if you have any questions, you read the topic, you said, wow, this sounds like an interesting show, it could even just be, well, what do you guys mean? What are you guys really getting ready to talk about? But start sending your questions in now to us. You can hit us up on Facebook on our Woman to Woman page and send your question in that way. Or if you have our personal telephone numbers, you can text us also.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting show because it's a controversial subject. And for those who may have just signed in because you tune into our shows every Tuesday, you don't really know the topic, you just tune in faithfully every Tuesday. The topic on tonight is, can a man make a woman? Now, I'm excited because we're going to have, I believe and I'm hoping that we will have men tune in too, not just to listen, but to have a voice, because I believe that this question, we could say what we want as women because we're saying it from a woman's perspective, but men have a different perspective on it, and I would really love to hear some of our male audience members that's listening in on tonight tune in and chime in and give us what your thoughts are because, again, everybody might have a difference of opinions, and this really, I believe that's what's going to make the show exciting tonight, is hearing the various opinions and why you believe like you believe, why you think like you think, you know. So when you don't be shy. We're going to open up the lines and ask those who have a comment or have their belief of why they believe a man should or shouldn't or a man can or can't make a woman. The other question I would like to propose on tonight is a man's sole responsibility or is his role to rescue, to fix, to save a woman?
Wow, that's a good question. That's a very interesting question.
And the reason that the question is being presented is because, especially in the body, a lot of women are laying dormant, waiting for their covering, waiting for their rib cage to show up, waiting for their, you know, this man to come on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that oftentimes these women kind of have a sense of feeling like this is their solution, this is the solution to all their problems.
You know, I think it's not just the body, though. I think, you know, as we're growing up, we're listening to stories of Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty. So we have that innate that inherent, we're downloaded into believing that we are to wait on our knight in shining armor. And so I think that's going to really, you know, it's going to pique the interest of, I think, everybody all the way around, not just women who are believers, but, again, people who are in the world who are waiting for that basketball star, they're waiting for that football player, you know, somebody to come in, rescue them and save the day and set them up like a princess or a queen, you know. And I think that even with that, when we think of princesses and queens, we think of them just being in the background, but we have to know that queens had a role in the kingdom. and where they actually worked and they had to help take care of the kingdom. So we'll get into all of that later.
I am excited because there's so many directions that this could go in, and depending on the conversation, depending on the comments and questions from the audience, it depends, because this could be a part two, three, four when it comes to this. And I think these are all personal opinions, though. My personal opinion, I'm gonna get this party started, okay? We're gonna remove our mask,
okay.
take off the mask, and we're gonna get the party started. We're gonna get this discussion going. Now, again, the question that's proposed for tonight's show, and men are welcome. So, women, if you got husbands or boyfriends, and you're wondering if they could tune in, yes, they could tune in. Do they have a voice? Yes, they can have a voice on tonight. We want to hear it from both perspectives. Everybody's going to probably have difference of opinions. Now, I may be one of the women that says, you know what, woman, get yourself together first. And then when your covering comes, you're ready to be part of the team.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's me. I don't believe that the man should have to come in and rescue and save and fix. You know, now I do understand that there may be certain issues emotionally that a woman could have that she don't even know she has until she get in that relationship. So it could be some daddy issues. There could be some issues from her past. And I know I hear men right now talking about, well, that ain't my problem. You know, I can't, you know, you always hear men say, I don't want to have to pay for the last man's mistake. And I hear that all the time. And you're right. You should not have to pay for the last man's mistake at all. But if you're in a relationship, and especially once it gets emotionally invested in it, hopefully you are in a position of stability to love this woman through some of these hurts of the past. You know, not that you got to pay for it, but in your manship, in your leadership role, you should at least be prepared and positioned to be able to love her through maybe a molestation at nine,
mm-hmm.
or a daddy issue thing that's going on. Be able to love her through these things, if that means hoping to get counseling or, you know, finding a good church home or whatever that thing would be, is being willing to love her through. Because you do, I know some successful relationships where there was some rocky beginnings as far as maybe the woman, you know, and men can have the same thing, but I'm talking about here, the woman going through some things, married her knight in shining armor, so to say, and lived happily ever after, you know, because he was prepared, he was positioned to be able to take on her. And all of us got baggage, and take on some of that baggage and help her get it organized and neatly packed away.
Wow, that's an interesting point of view. I don't know. I think I play devil's advocate in this whole topic, because really what I think is that honestly that men are just as emotional or. And when I say emotional, they're driven by their emotions, I believe, even more so than women are. We just let it spill out all over the place, and they don't know how to give a name to what it is that they're going through. And there, a lot of times you deal with men who are just, you know, kind of like big babies. Now, don't get me wrong, because there are those strong men who may know how to handle their emotions a lot more, a lot better than most. But I think that most men, because of the roles that they're taught that they should be, the actions that they're taught that they should take, that they really don't know how to manage the two, and that it spills out over onto women. And so as such, we do need to have ourselves together both mentally and emotionally in order to be able to deal with our own and to deal with them as well. I believe that the Bible says that the woman was brought here to help complete the man, not the man brought to help complete the woman.
Mm.
But I still think that there are roles that each of us play and each of us take. And I think that we are, we're abandoning those roles. We don't understand those roles. And we're mixing them up to the point where you're dealing with your boyfriend and yet you're calling him your husband. Or you're dealing with a man that you see who's not your boyfriend, and you're calling him your boyfriend or your husband and expecting him to do duties that are required or are part of the duties of the role of a husband. Mm-hmm. And so when you have that expectation of someone who that is not that person, and you and they fail in that role, and now you're mad and you're upset, and now you don't know how to correctly identify when the next man comes along who he is and what it is that he's supposed to be doing in your life, or who you are to him and what it is that you're supposed to be doing in their life. You know, we're calling ourselves wives to men who are not our husbands. We're going through doing wifely duties, you know?
That's a good point.
That's, you know, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here.
Well, I think, too, that the reason why so many women are playing wives to boyfriends.
And get that boyfriend.
I'm going to put that
boyfriends
and the reason why I think a lot of girls are playing wives to boyfriends is because of the simple fact that when you know you're a wife, you don't accept nothing less. See, a lot of us want to be wise once we say, I do. But you really have to start preparing to be, you have to become a wife before you say, I do.
But you can only be a wife to a husband.
Right. But what I'm saying is when you know your true position
of
a wife, you're not going to play girlfriend. You're not going to get in a girlfriend or boyfriend situation and play wife when you know I'm a wife. And the wife knows. That a wife knows that her position is with a husband, not a boyfriend. So she's not going to play wife to a boyfriend. She's going to avoid that situation altogether.
And see, that's what I mean when I say we're mixing up the roles. We don't understand what roles we're supposed to be. You know, at work, we used to call it, which hat are you wearing right now? Because whatever hat you were wearing, that was going to determine your responsibility, your actions, you know, even your goals. So if you were wearing the hat of HR right now, then whatever I come and talk to you about, you're the HR manager. You're not my friend at that moment. And so you have to put it into a sense of business.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm pulling you out to the side and I'm saying, okay, I'm talking to you as my friend, your HR hat is over to the side. So as women, we have to know which hat we're wearing because, again, it's going to determine our goals. It's going to determine the outcome that we want to expect. It's going to determine our actions. It's even going to determine our mindset if we know what role we're supposed to be playing. You know, same as basketball. If I'm going to put it sports-wise, anybody who plays sports, if you're playing basketball and you're playing defense when you're supposed to be on offense, you just lost the whole game.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good analogy.
Lost the game.
That is a good analogy. I like that. I mean, that you could get a perception on that, you know, that and you know what? And such as in relationships, oftentimes women who are supposed to be on offense or defense and they're playing offense, meaning they're supposed to be the girlfriend but they're playing the wife, they do lose the game because oftentimes they might not even be the one that he married.
Exactly.
He done went to the person who knows her position. She knows how to play her position.
Uh-huh.
And we do because there are certain requirements or certain expectations we have. Now, every relationship is different, so what we're talking is generalized. But there are, when you said that, it made a lot of sense because when we get in relationships and we confuse our position,
mm-hmm.
Because see, in baseball, you may be a back end, a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
But then in football, you may be a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, if I'm in a relationship and I'm playing a wife in a game that should be only meant for a girlfriend, then you're right.
You lost the game.
I lost the game.
You play the wrong role.
But I'm going to play the role according to the book. So if I'm supposed to be a quarterback, but I'm playing a linebacker, then I'm gonna be doing stuff. I'm supposed to be doing stuff a quarterback would do, but I'm gonna be doing stuff that the linebacker would do, because that's what we do. As a girlfriend, when you want to be a wife. So not only do you want to be a wife, but you're pretending or you're acting like a wife in this relationship. Now you're going to start making demands and expectations in this relationship of that man that really should be demands and expectations that come from a marriage.
Exactly. And so, you know, as we relate this back to our topic of, you know, does a man make a woman? And, you know, what are those roles and those responsibilities that he plays? We have to know who it is that we are dealing with. We have to first recognize, you know, if we go back to vertically, recognize, identify, organize, and file, you have to first recognize who it is that you're dealing with. What is it? Is it a man? Is it a boyfriend? Is a boy perpetrating to be a man? You know, is it a husband? Is it someone who's pretending like he want to be my husband, but he's only there because I can do so much for him, or this is what I bring to his life? Recognize, and then you identify. And once you identify, you know how to deal with who it is that you're dealing with. Then you organize all the information that you have, and you file it away for being able to use it.
Yes, and I'm not saying, too, that we're sharing this for those listening in. At any time, you could dial 1 on your dial pad, and that'll let our team know that you have a comment or you have a voice, you know, in this subject matter. A lot of people get on, and they'll listen online because that's safe, especially online, because you can't have a voice online. So you'll listen through the Internet because that's a safe place. Or you'll call in, and you'll just listen. But you won't say nothing. You won't have a voice. You don't voice your opinion, and you know. And these are, but you know, and these are times that you can. I notice on social media, all it takes is for one person to start a avalanche, so to say, and then everybody got their opinions. You know, here's a time for you to voice your opinions in a positive environment, a positive platform. It's global, but people, and not only that. People don't even know. If you don't want people to know who you are, they won't. Social media, your name, your picture in most cases is there. I'm just saying this is a platform that you could voice your opinion. You could ask those hard questions that may be embarrassing to ask, or you feel they're embarrassing to ask, or uncomfortable. Push out of your comfort zone on tonight. Ask those questions that you've been wanting to ask. Make a statement. Maybe you don't have no questions, but maybe you have a powerful statement that you want to make in reference to this subject matter. We've invited men on tonight. For men, if you're out there, you're listening in, we would love your opinions, because you have coach, you know, you have two women here. The show is woman to woman, but see, I heard a gentleman say last night, and it just really hit home for me. Not something that I didn't know before, but it just really magnified. And he said, you see, you got a lot of women shows. You got a lot of women conferences. You got a lot of women seminars. You got a lot of woman type things. He said, but you're getting the perspective of a woman about a man. And he said, who better to give you some information about a man than another man? And so that just really struck, because on Woman to Woman, we bring shows weekly on Tuesday nights to our listening audience, which, of course, is women. And we talk about various subjects. We talk about various topics. We talk about things that matter to women, concerns that women have. This show, this is a great show. You know, can a man make a woman? Because a lot of women believe that a man is supposed to complete her, that a man is supposed to save her, the man is supposed to make life easier, just different things. And I'm just saying some of that may have some validity, but some of it may not. And I think that shows like this are shows that's being honest, being upfront, that's sharing these things so that if other women are listening in, they could take it. They could be encouraged by it. They could be empowered. Or they could merely just be educated by it. We know that a lot of things is a matter of opinion, because there are some men that's out there looking to save a woman. You know, there are men out there, and I know people are laughing right now that's listening in, but believe it or not, there are some men out there that are trying to find women to save. And for you women that want to be saved, hold on. Hang in there, because there is somebody that's going to come and save you. There's somebody out there that's willing to do that and feel like that's their whole purpose in life, is to come through and swoop you up and save you. On the other hand, 99.99%, and I don't know that to be a true percentage, but I would say that 99% of the men out there is not looking to save. They're looking for partners.
You know, one of the things that I want to make sure that we reinforce is that when God created us, in Proverbs, it says that strength and honor are our clothing. And so a lot of times we as women, when we get to start dealing with a man, we think that a lot of women think that they're supposed to become weak.
Mm.
You know, some women start acting like little girls. Some women start acting like, you know, babies or what have you. And they reduce who they are in order to elevate the man that they're dealing with. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it exactly. It's the little girl syndrome. Help. Oh, help me. I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I need help. And I think that's because what we believe submission means and what submission really means
are two different things.
It's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been led to believe through false doctrine. I will say that again. Led to believe through false doctrine that submission means weakness, inferior, docile,
uh-huh,
and passive. And that's not what submissive means. Submit means to agree upon, to agree, to support. You know, it means, you know, it's totally opposite. And I, you know, and when I started doing a word study about submissive, it changed my whole view. Because if I was a believer, and I am.
I hope so. But go on.
And I'm sitting in, and, you know, we got to be careful. And I'm going to say this. When we go, wherever we go to get fed, we better be careful when we go to get fed, where we getting fed at. Because we could just get words thrown out at us, and those words may not, we don't understand what they mean. And so we begin to try to act out words that we don't even understand what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we don't understand what they mean, then we've missed the whole point of what we're trying to do. We do have some men in the studio. And so I'm glad, you know, we got some men in the studio, and they're saying, hey, we want to get in from a man's perspective on this subject. And the subject is, can a man make a woman?
And guess what, guys? I was just talking, and I was saying that sometimes women, when they get with men, they start shrinking. They start pretending that they're weaker or even less smart than who they really are in order to make the man that they're with feel more like a man.
You're not talking about y'all two, though. Because I can't vouch for them. You're talking about you two. A man got to come correct when you come to y'all, but go ahead, I apologize.
Yeah, I'm just saying some women, period.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of us, because I am a woman, and it's not that I myself haven't even, not that I haven't done that before. You guys have to excuse me because I have a big head cold. But because God created us as women of strength,
mm-hmm,
I believe that we are supposed to, when God called us to be helpmeets, he put a certain strength in us intentionally in order to be able to help elevate the man that we're with, because I believe a woman elevates a man. Excuse me, I'm sorry to offer
that's
up.
True.
But that he put a certain strength in us so that we would be able to draw out that man of God and mirror, be a mirror image, like God's reflection, so that when they look at us, they see themselves as God has called them to be.
Uh-huh.
So with all that I've said, what do you think about women, or women when they start shrinking in order to make that man feel more like a man?
You want to say so? I think that's a bad approach. You shouldn't shrink. I think, as a matter of fact, you should amplify who you are. My wife that I've been married to, she amplifies who she is with me, and that she's more comfortably to be who she truly is with me than she is with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And you're speaking about how women have a higher endurance. Funny thing about that is, being a personal trainer, when I train women, I can put a man through something like a plank or a wall sit, and a woman the same thing. The woman is generally going to last longer because they naturally have higher endurance.
Wow.
So, and that's an interesting thing. They're going to have greater endurance than a man. So, with that being the strong backbone of a man, not to say that they're inferior, but they have this great endurance. My wife, she had this great endurance with me to lead me into God, and that she lasted all the way through my craziness, and that she brought me to where I was supposed to be, and she made me a better man. And if she shrunk herself, I wouldn't lead to God. I wouldn't be working my ministry. I wouldn't be working my business. I wouldn't be such a great father. I wouldn't be loving God first, then her. You know what I mean? So by her saying, no, this is what we're going to do, that's what helped make me a stronger man to match my strong woman.
Wow.
You understand?
Wow. Wow. That is very deep.
Well, I'm going to put my finger up.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody got different perspectives based on their own experience or what they believe. So we would love to hear your perspective.
Now, I want to go back to the question because you touched me with that one. Go back to that specific question that you're asking. Basically, you're saying that the role of a woman, help me see exactly what.
Well, I'm saying if a woman shrinks who she is in order to, because our whole topic is about men coming in and being the making the woman. They got, because you heard there's songs. There were songs that was written maybe before you all's time, but there was a song back in the. I think it was the 80s or 70s, and if you're listening in online, dial one if you know what I'm talking about. But it was Love, Sweet Love, it takes a man to make a woman. To make a woman in this life. Somebody gonna know. I can't sing. That's not my gift. But I'm just saying there was a song back then that they used to sing. And the thought, even old school thought was, is that it's a man that makes a woman. There's a cliche that's used out in the world, and I'm going to say it. When I said, you'll know, don't get holy on me now, y'all. Don't get super duper spiritual. But there's a saying that you hear people say, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. Now, I'm saying that for a reason, because that would even go to insinuate that you could change, you could make somebody else a housewife that's not a, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or you could make a woman this, or you could make a woman that. And so the question was, can a man make a woman?
Well, first of all, nobody can make anybody, if we want to be truthful. Because I see it on both sides.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to just try to tilt it towards the man side, because I see it be a man as well. I see women that think they can change a man. And that's where I see a lot of women get into trouble. Mm-hmm. Is that they feel like, he may be a quote-unquote dog, but I love him. I can change him. No, you can't, sweetheart. You can't. Even God gives that man the opportunity to change. He has to want to change.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to make that man change.
Uh-huh.
Same principle when it comes to women. A man cannot make a woman. And actually, you do yourself as a woman a disservice if you shrink yourself.
Mm.
Let me tell you why. Because if you're supposed to be the man's helpmate, how can you help me in my weak areas if you decide that you're going to be weak? So if you think about, like, my brother over here who's a personal trainer. Now, he's training me. Now, if he was weak, every time I said, it hurts, he'll say, okay, that's enough for the day. But I would never get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I would never be able to lose the weight, develop the muscles, and get my warrior body. Well, see, look at you. I would never be able to. So it's the same way when you look at a woman. I remember Miles Monroe talking about how, and I'm paraphrasing here, how he said, men, stop getting on your women saying that they're nagging you. so much because she's coming to you about your vision. Because what she's doing is every time you come to her saying, I can't do this no more, and she comes back to you to say, no, didn't you say that God said to do this, that, and the third? Then what should you be doing? How do I need to help you? We call that nagging. That's really called being a helpmate. She's pushing you, and she's getting on your nerves for a reason to help to develop you and to bring you out as being who you are supposed to be. So, and I'm not saying this to put, because I know a lot of times we can do this as men, and we'll try to put women on a pedestal to make ourselves look good to women, but I'm saying this as far as being real. So before I get way off subject, no, a man cannot necessarily, he cannot make, I mean, he can make a little girl by procreation, but other than that, he cannot make a woman. I pray I'm answering your question because I'm probably going to...
Well, let me present another question because when we get men in the house, especially on this kind of subject matters, I want the audience to get a man's perception. So the other question would be is it a man's role to come in and fix or save or rescue? Fix, save, or rescue a woman. Is that part of your role? And I'm going to tell you where there are some women that believe that is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Word of God speaks about that the man, the husband, is supposed to treat, you know, the relationship between a husband and wife is like Christ in the church.
Huh?
So I think a lot of women look at that and they automatically assume because Christ in the church, Christ is our Savior. He's, you know what I'm saying? He rescues us. He fixes us. He transforms us. And because of that analogy, a lot of women have taken that and saying, hey, you're supposed to be able to come in and make life better for me. You're supposed to come in, you know.
No, I'm with you. When you look at the scriptures, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, if you think, what else does it say here? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. First of all, when you're talking about if a man is supposed to come in and do all these things, what did Christ do? Let's really take a look at what Christ did. He gave his life for his bride while he walked on earth. Remember, he went and he was teaching. He was teaching them how to even drive out demons. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. He taught them how to pray. He taught them what to do in certain situations. He even went to the cross, or to the tree, as some believe. He went to his death, showing them, being an example to his bride. So that's the same way with the husband. We are to be an example to our brides. And if you also look at, he didn't go in to necessarily make life, quote unquote, easy in that sense. Look at Peter. He still had to walk across the water. You look at the apostles, period. They even went to their death talking about him, even after he passed. So he didn't necessarily make life puppies, kittens, and bubble gums and rainbows. That's not what he did. He taught them, and they had to follow him. So even as a man comes in, as a man, we can't take away that monthly cycle. You know, we can't take away that certain kind of pain. There are certain things that even as a woman that you have to deal with our attitudes. There are certain things that need to be done that as the head of the household, if I'm saying let's go left and you want to go right, that you still have to bite the bullet and go left. The same thing with Christ. That don't mean that we wanted to do everything that we didn't feel like doing everything he wanted us to do. But we only could say that we loved him if we followed his commandment, which is inside the scriptures, those that love me keep my commandment. So it has nothing to do with that whole gushy-gushy, lovey-feeling thing. It has everything to do, did you do what I told you to do?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way when it comes to a man in the household. First off, it's not about him. Are you teaching your wife, are you showing her what thus saith the Most High? And are you following what thus saith the Most High? And then as you follow Christ, then she's going to follow you, talking about as the head of the household. That does not make her your doormat, she is your helpmate. Your helpmate to help you fulfill that vision. Because when you get back in front of the Most High, there's not going to be a chance for you to have a I didn't do it. Because then he can put back in your face, well, I gave you a Coach D. I gave you Coach LaDon. I gave them to you as your bride. And I told them what to do to help you. You decided to treat them like a doormat and not allow them to help you. And on top of that, I gave you provision to help them with their vision, and you chose not to do that. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
So that's what I'm. So the whole point about it is that that husband has got to be the one to follow the most. And I'm saying husband for a reason, because some people just want to shack up and just say, well, this is just my man, I'm going to follow him. That husband has got to be following the words of the Most High, his commandments that he's given him. And that wife should be following him as he follows Christ. The minute he stops following Christ. Go ahead.
You said something, and I'm going to say what you need to say. One of the things that you were talking, what came to mind, there is a certain sense of fixing. There is a certain sense of rescue. There is a certain sense of whatever the other one. And let me tell you what it's called, though, when it's in order. It's called ministering to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a good vertical relationship, then when God sends you your wife, you're able to minister to her as Christ ministers to the church.
There you go.
You're able to minister to those hurts and past pains.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to do that. And I would safely say that can a man make a woman? No. God made us. But what I will say is that a man can, when he's in his rightful position, as the head, he's supposed to be able to minister to his family.
Absolutely.
Because one of the wife's jobs and duties for her husband, this is biblical, is to pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is to pray for him and constantly keeping him covered in prayer. She's normally seen as you, in biblically, you always see it with the wife who was the prayer warrior and the prayed over the home and over the husband. And when you think about Proverbs 31, everybody's talking about they want to be a Proverbs 31 wife, but a lot of Proverbs, all of them saying they want to be a Proverbs 31 wife, but guess what? If you truly read more than just two scriptures in Proverbs 31, you're going to find out she got up early in the morning, cooked, cleaned the house, and went out and worked. She did that. So some of y'all say, I'm a proverb, I'm a virtuous woman, I'm a Proverbs 31, but you want to stay at home and be a housewife. And that's not nothing wrong with that if that's between you and your husband, but I'm just saying, when you say, I want to be a proverb, you didn't say you wanted to be a Naomi. You didn't say you want to be a Ruth. You didn't say you want to be working out in the field. You're saying, you know, or something like that. You're saying, you know, there's different women in the Bible that were still great women, but had different calls. So when you're saying you want to be something, you better make sure you better know what it is, because a Proverbs 31 woman is pretty much like what I'm doing right now.
You know,
I
hear you guys talking about your wife.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a wife.
Yeah.
I'm not a wife yet, in the sense that my husband is not here. You know what I'm saying? I'm not married. So what about the women who are dating or in relationships or want to be in relationships? What about their should their expectations of that man coming into their life be? So should me being single and he's coming into my life, should I expect him to come in paying bills? Should I expect him not to come in paying bills? Should I expect him to just open doors and that's it, or not open doors? Should I expect him to, you know, come in and try to father kids and different
that's
things like ahead. That?
That's,
yeah.
That's a good question. This gentleman's been waiting for a minute, so let me hear what you got to say. But that one, stay tuned, because that's a good one.
Okay.
That's a good one, because I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to that one.
Okay.
I think it's a preference.
Okay.
Now, well, I'm going back to that question where you were saying, like, how some women think their man they meet is going to be the hero of their life, right? Now, hear me out here. Hear me out. Because it's really some men, it depends on who you find. It's about what you see in them. And some women, now, I'm not trying to be offensive, they can be like, to the point where they want someone so bad that they can marry someone and won't even pay attention to whatever he's doing to her. And they want them to, and of course they're so busy saying, this man's going to be the superhero of my life, and of course everyone else is realizing, this man is mistreating you, and you're not even doing a single thing about it. And of course, it depends on who you find, not about what you find or what you want. It just depends on what God gives you.
Wow. From the mouth of babe.
That was from the mouth of babe. That was my son.
He's 13, going on 33.
But wisdom and not mothers. That just goes to show, as a single mom raising my son, but he has a lot of great mentors around him, that godly men that are sowing into him. And so I thank God for the godly men that are sowing into him, because guess what? A lot of the world issues would probably be resolved if we had more men and women mentoring the younger men and women coming up, because they learn from what they see.
Because most men, now, you can probably, you will find a man that will be right for you. But if you've seen all that's going on in the world, you see men that are molesting women, taking them, kidnapping them. Not every man is going to be the superhero that you're trying to look for. They're all there's something different about each man. And, of course, God, he may have crucified himself to save our punishment, but there's still sin on this world, and every man does a sin that's very disgraceful. And, of course, not every man is a superhero. And even you can see that on news, men, women missing, even boys, little boys missing and being molested by the men. And that just shows that just because God crucifies himself doesn't mean anything's gone.
Well, thank you.
That was it.
So now we're going to go. We appreciate that. Thank you so much for that insight. Now, Minister LaDon presented some good things. Should we be expecting a man to come in and... And that's really what you said, some key things, but should we be expecting him to come in and pay bills and help us father our children by previous relationships, and is it a wrong expectation to expect life to get easier
when
that
man
comes
through
the
door?
now can we be real?
Yeah,
very real. The expectation. And I love what Coach D said. What is the right and what is the wrong answer? And it really goes down to your truth. See, when I first moved out here, a lot of people would say, you're not from around here, are you? I said, no, I'm from St. Louis. Are you a country guy? Why? Because I would open doors for the ladies, do different things, pull out chairs, stand up when they wanted to sit down. I'm just an old school kind of cat. But in the notes, I just said cat. That's just my culture where I'm from. Out here, not too many men that they saw do that. So it's an expectation for me to do it. But somebody that grew up somewhere else, it may not be an expectation. Mm-hmm. So you have an expectation of somebody not knowing their culture, where they come from. Mm-hmm. Just like how you as ladies. The expectation in another country was for you just to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But out here, there's a whole different expectation. You actually have a voice. You can speak.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to the expectation, should a man pay for everything? Now let's get into what you expect from him. Now, what should he expect from you? Now, if we're going to be real, if he's paying for your dinner, what you going to do for him after dinner's over?
Uh-huh.
Now, if you expect, now let's really think about it. Now, and I heard somebody say this, and it made me say, okay, it's not biblically correct, but okay, it makes sense as far as the world goes. He goes through the issue of going to the mirror to talk to himself, to say, do I go to her and say, yo, 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 or hello, how are you? He has to go through that to put himself in the position to be rejected in front of his friends or not. So now he gets your number. Now he has to call you. And you don't pick up on the first or second call because you want to play hard to get. Now he got a call. You finally get him. And then he asks you, you want to go out. You pick a day. You go out to one of the most expensive restaurants. He pays for it. Takes you to wherever else, bowling, movies, and all of that. He is paying for your time. Think about it now. When you have a business meeting and you go out to eat, whoever wants to make the sale is the one that's paying for the food.
Uh-huh.
So you're paying for somebody's time, no different from anything else in the workplace. And a boss will pay for his employee's time. So now he's paying for your time. Now, what do I get on the back end? Oh, I get to just maybe walk you to the door and get a little hug. What's his expectation? So now, which one is right, which one is wrong? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're looking biblically, then you would say that if you're going to come into my bed, that must mean that we're married. So that means that you're ready to take care of me as a husband would take care of a wife. But if you're looking at it in the world that we live in now, just being real, does he get a little bit of a notch in his belt? Let me call it that. Because he just got through paying for your time. And if you want to look at it in another sense, if you're talking about getting certain pleasures, what else does a man, how does a man pay for certain pleasures? He can either take you out to eat, or he can go down to the young lady down the street that's selling something, if you know what I mean. We all grown, but I still want to be careful. So what's the difference in it? He paid for her to get a little pleasure, and he's paying for your dinner, your movie, and everything as an expectation that you have. So now he's gonna have a, now he can have an expectation to get a little bit from you. So who's wrong and who's right?
So you better know what somebody is expecting of you and from you.
Well, my mentor says, you better know your customer. And you better know, and I love that he says this, and he's going to say that the vertically that we have coming up next weekend, shameless plug. No, it's not shameless. But you, not only should you know your customer, but can your customer pay the bill?
Mm.
So you got to know that. If I'm going, if you're going out with this man, can you pay the bill? If
wow.
you can't, if you cannot, in integrity, pay the, as he often says, let's not promise something that we can't deliver on. If you cannot deliver on that bill, no matter how fine he is, no matter how many abs he got, like my brother over here, no matter how much, that's not a contract you want to get yourself into.
You know, something I want to add to that, too. Is that in Christianity, there's over the divorce rate is over 70%.
Yeah.
And you know that's based on finances. So when you're saying, oh, can he pay the bills? So it's became about money again. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So it's becoming about money again. Now, me and my wife, we've been through ups and downs. We've been through some nice ups, and we've been through some serious downs. And the biggest thing that we found to be the very best quality that we had in each other was that we loved God first before we loved each other.
Wow.
And so when you go out and you look for someone, are you saying, are you capable of giving me what I need? Are you capable of supplying me with the need that a man should be able to supply me with?
Uh-huh.
Because you would supply me, my wife supplies me with the needs that only a wife could supply me. And I supply her with the needs that a husband can only supply her.
Mm.
So with that, you have to say, who do I love first? Who reigns supreme, you know, in your life? I think that should be the most important question. You know what I mean? Because all these other things about making life easier, that's going to come to pass. But it's all about making God first in your life. You know what
wow.
I mean? And that he should be the first thing in your life.
Uh-huh.
My mentor, which is John's mentor, he does this practice where, you know, first off, let me say that we get most of our ideas from what are considered man-made rules. The women is supposed to stay at home and be the housewife, and the women is supposed to be this, and the woman is supposed to be that. Who said that? Who told me that? Who said that? Who said that a woman is supposed to stay here and vacuum? Why aren't you capable of more? Like, if somebody told that to my wife, I'd be like, you're crazy because you're going to have to deal with her because she's going to be owning it. She owns her. She's part of my Diesel Fitness and Performance.
Woo.
She has dreams to build her business, and she is going to build her business. She's in the process of building her business. She is a businesswoman, a mother, and a wife.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a husband, I'm a businessman, and a father. So I have different hats. So why can't you have different hats? But the problem is we've let the world become our truth. My coach, he does this practice all the time where he says, like, for instance, those are at home that are listening, I want you to look at your listening device and tell me, is it real? He would ask you, say, is this device that you're holding, is it real? And so if it's real, go ahead and nod your head. Now, I would ask you, are you telling me the truth? And then you said yes. And I'll be like, oh, wait a second. So you just define what is in your hand, which would be really reality, as truth. But Jesus said, I'm the truth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, as Christians, we allow the world to dictate what our truth is and how we should find a man or a woman. But if we go back to what the truth is that we should love him first, that we should seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and only some things. Wait, no, that's not right, right? All things. And I believe a husband and wife would come through that, and I could speak on that as truth because me and my wife did the same thing around the same time. I remember I got on my knees and I worshiped. I asked for the woman that I wanted. I wanted a woman of God. And it was funny because even not truly knowing how to pray at that time, I knew that it was the first thing to pray because I knew somewhere in my spirit that a house would not stand if we were not equally yoked.
Mm.
And so you have to be equally yoked spiritually first. And the funny thing was she was praying the same thing and that we prayed about qualities that we would want. And then we were writing down ideas and qualities that we really wanted to have in each other. And it just so happens that we went through different life phases and different things that we happened to come in contact with each other. And we just so happened to have those qualities. It's kind of interesting. But what we did is we seeked it through God first. We let it go through God's filter, not through the world's filter. And we got, you know, what was needed for us. Well, I'm not, no way am I saying that I'm perfect. And from women, you're never going to find a perfect man. Because if you're saying, oh, yes, there is a perfect man out there, then why did Jesus die? You know, if we should just rip out the New Testament and throw it away. Because it's impossible to be perfect. It's been laid out clearly. We're only perfect through Jesus Christ. That's the only way we're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
that we have to seek him daily. We have to renew ourselves daily. We have to be transformed by the renewal of mind through Christ. So, again, you have to go through God to find that perfect me.
Wow, that was good.
That was, and that was good. And this has really been a good show. We're coming close to the end. We want to give our audience enough time if you want. If you've been listening in through the Internet and are calling in. And you have a comment regarding tonight's show. You've always got one on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a comment regarding tonight's subject matter. Tonight's subject matter has been very interesting. I thank God that we've had different perspectives. We've heard things from women that kind of, you know, that share some similarities and some differences. We've heard from two men. That had a voice that was willing to say, you know what, I got something to say here. And so
I have another statement while we're waiting on a question. So what do you guys, you two men, think? And you can either answer it one by one, whatever, or either or answer it, of a woman who takes on the role of a wife and yet she's a girlfriend or not a girlfriend. And so she, you know, maybe she feels like she sees her mate. Maybe she thinks she sees, you know, thinks that this man is going to be her mate. What do you guys say to that? Because, again, a lot of women do expect that when that man comes into their life, he's going to be her rescuer. He's going to rescue her and different things like that. And so some women may feel obligated to take on this role and start, you know, walking out who she thinks that she is or who she feels like she is or who she thinks that the man expects her to be. But what would you say to women out there who find herself doing that and then now all of a sudden that man goes and, you know, he actually is paired up with his real wife and that pairing could be a God-ordained pairing with his real wife. And I'm not going to say can be, I'm going to say is. But here you have this woman who's broken, brokenhearted, because she felt like, hey, that was my husband. I was the wife. I was the wife. You know?
It almost sounds like, it's like, well, you know what, let me run a rehearsal on this. Let me see how we do as a husband and a wife together. You know, let me run a rehearsal on this to see if this works as a husband and wife. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Honestly, it's just kind of running like that. But then it's a question of how you found your mate. Was it based on intuition? Was it stalking? Because you wanted this person so bad. But it just wasn't, you know, really coming forward. You know, when God calls someone to you, there's always going to be outward confirmation.
Mm.
You know, when someone's ever had prophetic word over the life, lives, they know what I'm talking about. We have all had it over our lives at some point or another where someone just spoke that one thing where you're just like, well, how did you know this? For instance, just to really paint a picture here, I'm white and my wife's black. And we went to this thing called Giant Killers, and we looked completely different. She walked in, I was out late, I was able to make it in at the same time. And I come in and automatically people generally think from the world that I'm a bigot because I'm blonde hair, blue eyes, and a shaved head. Like, oh, this guy is racist and he's going to kill me. Like, and plus I work out and they're like, oh, man. Once you get to know me, you're like, wait, that's completely wrong. And so I walk in there and I could already see, she's like, where did this guy come from?
He's not supposed to be here.
Yeah, they're right. I go in there and I'm worshiping over here. I haven't even acknowledged her. She's over there worshiping. And I had already felt in my heart that I was called to her. But I had to learn how to love God first before I could actually receive it. And I just went through vertical leap. And that's why I worshiped. Woo. I learned how to worship for the very first time.
Uh-huh.
And that's when my relationship with God began. So at that point, we were worshiping completely different things. And this lady, her name was Sophia, she went and grabbed my hand, she went and grabbed her hand, and she connected her hands. She said, listen, you guys are going to have a marriage for God's glory. You're going to speak to young men, and you're going to speak to women, and it's going to be a powerful ministry. And they had no clue, but it was already something brought together. Sorry for the earthquakes in the radio. I'm getting a little excited here. But there's going to be outward confirmation. So don't jump on it. Don't be patient. Be patient. Ask for God to reveal it to you.
Uh-huh.
God will reveal the answer to you. You have not because you ask not. Ask God to make it plain and simple. When I pray and I ask for things, and I remember when I prayed and I asked for God to really, truly reveal something to me, I said, God, please let me know. I submitted it to the sincerity of my heart. Make it plain and simple where I can know and understand that this is what it's supposed to be. And God will let you know. And the Bible, he speaks in Acts. Jesus was speaking to the disciples about the Holy Spirit. And he was saying that the way he was delivering to them, it was spoken to as infallible truths. Now, the word infallible means it's unmistakable and impossible to be with error.
Wow.
That means that there is no possible way that you can mistake this as being true. You know that it's true 100%. It's completely without error. You know it for sure.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing that could bring up doubt. Doubt is not in the subject. So when God speaks to you and speaks this message over to you, say, God, give me an infallible word that this is my husband or that this is my wife. And he will bring it to you. And it's going to be at the time that you least expect it. And he's going to speak it to you, whether it be prophetic or not.
Wow.
You know what I mean? But God will show you the answer. So before you kind of jump and be too hasty, be patient. Don't make the husband or the wife your God, chase them so much and then be broken. Because that's what happens, right?
Yeah.
People fail. Duh, Jesus came. You know, you know what I'm saying? We fail as people. You know, that's why Jesus came in the first place, because we can never measure up. So Jesus said, hey, let me measure down to your level.
Wow.
And the thing is, if you seek him first, you're not going to be brokenhearted because he's first.
Amen.
And then the husband comes in. You get what I'm saying?
I get it, because the answer, that's it. Because if the woman who is, let's say, met somebody she's dating, and if she's taking on wife roles, then you got to question her vertical relationship. Because then for the man to allow her to take on the wife roles, you got to question his vertical relationship. You really do. Because your vertical relationship should always, there's no way to be vertical and be crooked. Have you ever noticed that?
You're talking about if you're 90 degrees, you can't be 91.
90. Yeah. There's no way to be vertical and be crooked. So if you're vertical, it's just straight up and down. So whatever you're getting downloaded into you should be a manifestation of what goes horizontally. That's the truth. I know that sounds just simplistic because we all blow it. I mean, I blow it. But especially when I could just be dynamic in so many areas of life. I mean, this is a genius. So when it comes to relationship, it is a constant growing and learning. constantly renewing, constantly trying to prepare myself to be the wife that God called me to be in due season.
And that's, I'm sorry.
No.
What I wanted to say about that was this. Show that you have your qualities as a wife, but nobody said you had to be his wife, because you're not necessarily his wife until he's ready to make that commitment and you're ready to make that commitment. And ultimately, yes, if God called you to be his wife.
Tell me some qualities to show that you're a wife.
To show? Well, first of all, how do you present yourself? How do you handle yourself? Literally, how do you handle yourself with your assignment that God is giving you to do?
Your own assignment.
Mm, are you doing shows that help women to women? Are you doing shows to, you know, process pain? Are you out helping, you know, young ladies that went through different things when it comes to being raped and all those different things? Are you handling your assignment? Can I look at you and say, I can approach her with, yo, baby? Or do I have to literally go and say, excuse me, may I talk to you? Do I have to rehearse my sonnet in order to get to you? Mm-hmm. How you carry yourself? What does your brand say? Mm-hmm. And that your brand will tell you if people can look at you and say, man, she is wife material. Men, we do that. We'll say, you know what? Her, I can get easy. Her, man, she wife material. Sometimes a man that, and ladies, I want you to really hear this. There are men out there right now, there's a man probably right there in your life who you really like, and you would marry that man. But he will not get with you. And one of the reasons, the main reason why, is because you're wife material and he's not playing around.
Woo!
That's the truth. And
say that again, brother.
The thing is, women, I'm telling you right now, ladies, is that right now, see, you present yourself as wife material. But he is not done playing around, and that's why he won't get with you. And I honestly honor that man for that, because he could get with you, marry you, and still play around.
And
come to you and say, you knew how I was before you said I do. And then that would make you hated towards that man, and you'll just be a man dogging woman. But and that's just the truth. But what I'm saying to you is that you want to be a wife. You never said you wanted to be a plaything. Right now, he may be out trying to play, but you are looking for it. You want your husband. And let's be real, ladies, I understand. I can sit up here and tell you like other pastors, hold on to thoughts and change in hand. Sister, get into your word, hallelujah. You know, read them scriptures. Let Jesus be the one to hold you at nighttime. Let me tell you something. When you go into bed at nighttime and you don't feel the physical arms of Christ, you feel lonely. I know you do. I can see some of you right now shaking your head, yeah. I know it. I know you feel lonely. But I'm not going to tell you something like that to let you do a mashed potato dance. I get it. And right now you're going through. But God never said that it was going to be easy. Like James Cleveland said, nobody told me the road was going to be easy. But you got to understand who God is. Do you honestly think if you're serving him that he's going to really want to put you through that kind of torment? You're going through something right now as far as being lonely, just maybe to get to know him more.
Mm-hmm.
My wife says it best, that all of that time she spent to want to give to a man, God got her to a place where he wanted that attention. Because first of all, your man can become your God. And that's idolatry.
You're
committing idolatry, and you also adultery. You're doing that whole, you're supposed to be married to me first.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be married to me. He's your husband. He is your father. And as your father, he is giving you over to a man that he told that man, I trust you with my child. So, and also understand this, ladies, when you're doing your assignment, you are called to be a helpmate. You can't help that man if you were not designed to help that man. In the sense, like, let me say it in this way. If I have a car shop working on, give me a car, any car, somebody just give me a car.
Camaro.
Who?
A Pinto.
Okay, we're not going to go with a Pinto. Camaro, I like that. If I'm designed to go with Camaro, and you tell me, you know what, I'm skillful, I went to school, I want to come in here and help you. And I say, fantastic, what do you do? And you sit up here and tell me that I know
how to type.
I know how to type and cook greens. That don't help me with the car. If I need a mechanic, you're not certified to help me. So now, instead of helping me, you have now become a disease to me. You become a cancer to my business now.
Mm.
You become a curse to me in that sense. Does that make sense? In that sense of, I need a mechanic, and here you are saying I'm a lawyer. That don't help me when it comes to tightening up the nuts and the bolts. Now, if I need legal stuff, fantastic. But you're trying to fit in into somebody's dream that's not your purpose. You're looking at the fact that he's 6'4". God never said anything about him being 6'4". You're looking at the fact that he's dark-skinned, he's light-skinned, he's white, he's Arab, he's this. And God said he called that man to function. That's what good means. I believe it's good means to function. We know what God said, that he did all this work, he looked at everything and said it's good, means that it's function. It has nothing to do with his bank account. It has nothing to do with the kind of car he drives. Because he can be a rich man and go upside your head. And you'll say, well, girl, but he loved me because he gave me flowers and a gift and takes me on a trip every time he blacked my eye. But would you say that that's the kind of love that you want?
That's not function.
He's not functioning like
that's
a man.
That's not good.
He's not functioning like a husband. He's not functioning like a man of the Most High. And the same thing for you. Are you good? Do you function well? And do you function well for that husband? Because, see, you may be the type that may be strong opinionated. He may not be the type to handle that. There are certain women, you even look back and say, Ida B. Wells Barnett. Couldn't just any man be with her because she was very opinionated. But she was a woman that helped to change the history of the world. But a certain man had to be with her. He could not be a soft man being with her. Now, some men need a woman that's really opinionated. You're designed for him. Some men need a woman just to say, honey, you can do it. And back up. You're designed for him. Whoever you're designed for, that when that design comes together, can't nobody stop that purpose. Mm-hmm. Not one person can stop that purpose. Mary and Joseph designed for each other. Because when Mary was saw a child, another man would have said, stone her. They wouldn't even listen to the angel. But since Joseph was designed to be with Mary, and Mary was designed to be with Joseph, because Mary could have said, no, Lord, not me. What did Mary say? One of the biggest things that everybody can learn. Yes, Lord. She was designed to say, yes, Lord, regardless of what anybody said or thought. Yes, Lord. So they were designed for each other. And I'll say this last point. If you're not designed, and this is the power that women, please hear me. And men, if you listen, please hear me too. When it comes to your relationship with God and being designed. See, women, you hold so much power, it's not even funny. And let me tell you what I'm talking about. The scriptures say, who was the wisest man that ever lived? Who was the wisest? King Solomon. And all of his 700 wives turned him astray. Now, he's supposed to be the wisest one of them all, but they turned him astray. Why? Weren't designed. He's praising the Most High, and they got every other god, Ashtaroth. They got Baal. They got all these different gods, but they were not designed for him. And what happened? His kingdom wound up falling. Why? Because he turned away from the Most High. Why? He was not designed. And I'm going to wrap that up because I can keep on going. But the whole thing is about it is, you, ladies, you were blessed with so much power when it comes to that help. You don't want to be a curse to him, and you don't want him to be a curse to you. Show your wife material, but don't become his wife. In other words, don't open yourself up, if you know what I'm saying. We grown, so you get what I'm saying. But show the fact that you are wife material.
And recognize the fact that you just might not be his wife.
And you recognize the fact, exactly. When I say show yourself to be wife material, that don't mean show it off as like, ooh, look at me, I'm wife material. Your countenance will show that.
Uh-huh.
Your brand will show that you're wife material.
And a wife, one of the biggest things I would say is that if your wife's material, you're not going to accept nothing less than a husband.
Ooh, can you say that again?
If your wife's material, you're not going to accept nothing less than a husband. Mm. We all do it. We've all been there. Some of us are still in that. As single women, as believers, that we want to be married so bad.
Mm-hmm.
We want that. That's okay. Guess what? One of the things I learned, if you don't believe me, Genesis 3:3.
Mm.
We were cursed with the desire for our husband.
Mm.
So even though our husband hasn't arrived on the scene, we have a curse of a desire for our husband.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Genesis 3. When Eve and Adam sinned, and God began to place the curses upon them.
That's 3:16.
3:16. That he cursed us, that we will always have a desire for our husband. So as single women, the reason why we had this strong desire. Now, you got some single women that say, I don't want to ever be married. Okay, Mother Teresa, that's fine. But I'm saying for most of us, we have a desire for our husband. We want a husband. And it says that man should not be alone. It's scripture, you know. And so we should not be, I always say this, desperation breeds counterfeit. Mm. Desperation breeds counterfeit. So when you're so desperate for a man, a husband, you'll begin to open yourself up and receive people that's counterfeit. They're not who they say they are. They're coming as wolves in sheep's clothing, and we open ourselves up and we begin to unite ourselves with. And if you don't stand firm to your belief systems and your moral compass, then you're gonna jeopardize, because we're gonna jeopardize, and we've all done it. You know what I'm saying? Jeopardize. First thing is opening up your legs, because now you're bonding yourself to somebody that's not your husband.
Now, what is that? And I just wanted to ask you that. What constitutes marriage? Is it the written contract that says you are married, or is it open up your?
Well, you know what? Let me tell you this, because in the Old Testament, there was, I thought, you know, because the consummation of marriage was sex.
Yep.
And that the woman then became
his wife.
Your wife. But if you really study it, it wasn't just the consummation of marriage, because a lot of men in the Old Testament slept with people that wasn't their wife. And it was obvious in the scripture that it wasn't their wife, David and Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there was a process that they went through when they were taking on a wife. Oftentimes, especially if they were in royal, like, leadership, king, that wife had to be set aside. And she went through a whole pampering, prepping process, oils and myrrh and frankincense. She went through a whole process of cleansing before she was taken to this man for a sleep with. And they did have a celebration. Now, New Testament, let's word it up to today. I heard people say, well, a wife is in your heart and what we've agreed upon. What I will challenge you is the word of God tells us to follow the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
So even when we want to say that, the reality of it is the law in this land, which we live in this day, you got to go through a civil union. You got to go to the court system and get approval. That's the law of the land. And God tells us, even when the president is a creep, we're
mm-hmm.
still supposed to follow authority. And the laws of the land here is marriage is, is a certification. Now, whether you want to have a big wedding, a little wedding, or you want to stand in the bathroom and say, I do, under somebody that's been pre-certified to marry you, then you could do it. How big the wedding is, or whether or not you had a formal or informal wedding, is not the key here. But the law of the land is that you got to go get a marriage certificate.
Right.
And so.
Mm-hmm. No, that is the law of the land. And that's what I just wanted to bring that up about what constitutes marriage. Because you do.
But spiritually, you know, the right way is to do that. But spiritually, there is a bond. Sex brings in a bond. Whether it's legitimate or illegitimate, there's a bonding that sex does. And sex was given to us, Adam and Eve. It was given to us not for pleasurable. It was for procreating, and it was for bonding. It was for joining souls, tying souls. And so that's why when we get out of a relationship, and that's why it's so important, why we can't just, we got to stop just saying sin, sin, sin. We got to stop saying, well, you're not supposed to have sex because it's a sin. You know why? Because that hasn't stopped people from having sex in centuries. But when people really understand why God meant for us not to have sex, you start really thinking about that. We one of the reasons that God didn't want us to have sex before marriage is because now, guess what? If that don't turn out to be your husband or your wife, now you got to compare. You got something to compare to. So now you oftentimes have issues in relationships because you ain't the same as Joe was. Or, ooh, she don't do it like Sarah did it. You know what I'm saying? Well, if you ain't been with Sarah and Joe in the first place, and you saved yourself for the husband you're supposed to have or the wife you're supposed to have, then it would be great. It would be beautiful. It would be exciting. It would be passionate. It would feel good because that's all you know.
It comes into this whole bond when you start to do all of that. You're having sex and all of that. It can create. We all heard the term of a soul tie. We all heard that, and so now it becomes this whole thing of, well, that's mine. That type of order. That's why I asked what constitutes marriage. Because like you said, if you study, yes, they had ceremonies, but it also says in the scriptures that, you know, it says in certain parts where he took her and she became his wife, or he went into her and she became his wife. And so when you look at that, that's that act of, this is now my marriage with her. And so when he goes off and has somebody else, they too become his wife. I don't want to get into that, because see, a lot of people, there's a whole lot of studying that goes into all of that, and I don't want to take it in people's
that's a,
life.
Yeah, that's a whole nother
show. That's a whole nother
so
show.
We might have to do a show about the marriage unit.
Yeah.
We have to do a show about that so that, you know, that you could truly understand it, because, you know, even then, back in the Old Testament, if it was just sex that did it, that was the rule.
Mm-hmm.
That was the law then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not the law. That's not the law now, even though people have made it, because even, you know, when you think about it, even here in some states, California being one, they have what they call common law.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been with somebody for 6 months, then you, it's called, by common law, you're their wife. But guess what? A lot of people don't realize that with common law, yeah, you become their wife or their husband after you live together for 6 months. But guess what? If that person died, you won't get their pension. Common law don't get the pension. I'm just saying.
Common law don't mean common sense.
Yeah. Well, so anyway.
Yeah. You know, again, our show was about men coming in if they make a woman, if they can, you know, if a man makes a woman and, you know, his responsibilities to a woman or a woman's responsibilities to a man, I would leave women with this, because most of our listeners are single women and not necessarily married women. And so what I would leave our listeners with is that you are a treasured gift. All of us are God's greatest miracles. And since you are a gift, you are a miracle, you need to protect what God has created you to be. You have to be a good steward and accountable and responsible to how you treat yourself.
Mm.
And once you are a good steward and accountable and responsible to how you treat yourself, if anybody else shows up on the scene, they cannot treat you any way that you are not allowing them to treat you. And the only way that you can allow them to treat you anything as anything other than a treasure is if you are not accountable to the treasure that you are. So again, women, know who you are, and if you don't know who you are, break open your Bibles, read who it is that God says that you are. Don't listen to who the world says that you are. Don't try and play a role that you are not supposed to be playing. Know your role and play it well.
Hey, man, that's perfect. Know your role and play it well. Do your position. And, you know, may I say?
Yes, sir.
You know what, ladies, but I also,
would like to say, my queens, if what read about the women in the Bible.
Amen.
Read about them. Read about what they did. And look at the strength that they went through. Look at everything that they did. And see how powerful they were. Read about them. And if you see somebody's name in there one time, Google it. You got this great thing called Google. Google it. Google the names. Google their important role. It's more than just Mary in the Bible, in all the Marys. Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to know it's a bunch of Marys. It's more than just them. There's a book in the Bible called Ruth. Read about her. If you didn't know, she's in there. But read about them and begin to really see what they did. And in that, I really truly believe that you'll begin to discover yourself. Because it's more to the scriptures about women than it is Marys and Proverbs 31.
Amen.
So please, read about your script. Read about those ladies. Read about Phoebe, Dorcas. Read about all of these ladies.
Junia, Anna, Rahab.
And one of the things, and I know we're coming to the end of the show, we've actually extended further, but one of the things I want to encourage the ladies on tonight, I'm saying this, and this is not a sexist statement. The man is the head, and God made it like that. He created, it's the reason he didn't create Eve first.
He ain't my head, but I'm from
He created, you know, he's the reason he didn't create Eve first. And it's scripture after scripture after scripture that speaks to the strength of the man. And I'm going to tell you, there, you know, in the curse, even though it's a curse, God speaks about the man being the provider, the tiller. He's tilling, you know, by the brow of his, you know, the sweat of his brow, that he's going to do this. It tells of the husband, you know, we know the scripture, everybody quotes the husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. But guess what? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, it says, he must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. It also tells it that the husband is to, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in understanding. Why? Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are the heirs with you of grace, of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So there are certain things, responsibilities the man have, and there's responsibilities that the women have. And if each person plays their, you know their responsibility, play their role, then guess what? Then it's a great union, and it's a union that's made to win. That's just like anything else, as we said earlier in the show, if you're a team, football team, there's a quarterback. There's only one quarterback. There's only one captain. You know, or maybe they might have assistant, you know. But I'm just saying, that's what's there. And if you have a football team and everybody's quarterback, it's not going to work. So just you got to know which position you're supposed to be playing and according to your purpose and to the purpose that God created us. So anyway, We appreciate all that listened in on tonight. We hope something was said that inspired you, that encouraged you, that gives you some information to move forward, whether you're already married. Maybe you can start looking at things differently. And then, too, men know just like they said and women know. You know what you want. If you don't want to have to come in and pay and pay all her bills, then guess what? Then that ain't going to be the woman you want.
Nope.
But there's a man for that woman that God created just for her that's going to be willing to come in and take on those kind of responsibilities. So we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in tonight to Woman to Woman. We hope that you tune in this Thursday for Processing the Pain and at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then on Mondays, we have Relentless Pursuit at Thank you. Have a good evening.